So this evening, we are continuing in this series on the doctrine of election. So if you would, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are going to read verses 8 to 13 in just a moment. We have discussed the various views of the doctrine of election, why we believe the Reformed doctrine of election to be the biblical doctrine. We've talked about the doctrine of election being a cause for us to praise the Lord. We've seen that in Ephesians chapter 1. That's how the Apostle Paul emphasizes the doctrine of election as a reason to praise Him. We've seen how the doctrine of election encourages us and strengthens us during our time of distress. We went over that in Philippians chapter 1, that there is nothing that can thwart the will of God, that God is in control over every situation, and that we can be assured that God knows what we endure, God is in control, and God has a purpose. We can be assured of that because we go back to the truth of the doctrine of election and we see His majesty and His sovereignty in that which carries over into other areas of our lives. We also talked about the doctrine of election being a weapon against pride. That when we see God for who He really is, we see Him as the big God that He really is, that it humbles us. It brings us low. Or to where we can not walk arrogantly before Him or walk proudly before Him because we realize and we recognize clearly through the Scripture that our salvation is not our own doing, but it's all His doing. Everything in our salvation we can take no credit for because all of it is a work that He has done. As the Apostle Paul said in our text that we went over in 1 Corinthians, by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. This evening, here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are reading of the Apostle Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. He is in a jail cell. He is awaiting his death. This will be his last epistle to Timothy. He is encouraging him through various circumstances, and he says some amazing things here in verses, actually through most of chapter 2, of course, but when he speaks of his own suffering, and he's willing to endure this suffering for the sake of those chosen by the Lord. Timothy is going through some various circumstances, perhaps, as he had written before, people looking down on him because of his youthfulness. People deserting the church. The persecutions that he is enduring. And Paul is writing to him to encourage him in the faith to keep going and to kindle afresh the gift that he has. The gift that was granted to him by the Lord. He is writing to his son in the faith to keep going for the sake of the elect. And what I want us to understand tonight from this epistle from Paul speaking to Timothy and encouraging Timothy is the things that he is pointing at so that we too could be emboldened in our evangelism. Because that's part of what Paul is saying to Timothy. Keep going and keep pressing forward. The gospel's going forth. The gospel, Paul says, I'm in prison, but the gospel isn't. So keep going and keep preaching for the sake of the elect, so that they may obtain the salvation. We have this idea of evangelism in our day that has been around for quite a while, by the way, nothing new. But we have this idea of evangelism that we have to have some type of a persuasive argument or a persuasive speech or whatever the case may be, so that we may bring people to faith by what we tell them. Now, there is a truth in that. We proclaim the gospel to them, but it is not in our own power that we're bringing people to faith. That's one reason I truly believe why people are so nervous to share the gospel with others. Well, what if I don't say the right thing? What if I mess it up? What if I don't give enough information? What if they don't get saved? Then they walk away feeling like they've been defeated because the person did not come to faith. Because they are taught, if they didn't come to faith, you must have done something wrong. That's not the kind of evangelism that we see within the Scripture. For what we see in the Scripture is that God uses His people as instruments to accomplish His desire, which is to bring His elect to faith through the preaching of the gospel, but it's God who's doing it. It's God who is bringing them to faith. It is God who is doing the internal call, that calling that we had talked about there Sunday. I want us to have courage as we share the gospel to know that it is not how well we say it or how well we declare it, but evangelism is successful because we're faithful in doing it. And knowing the doctrine of election only empowers us to give it more, because we know it's not of ourselves. So let's look at this amazing passage of Scripture. Let's just read verses 1 to 13 and put everything in context. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the inspired, authoritative Word of the living God. 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray together. Gracious God and our Father, thank you again for this portion of your word. Father, thank you for what it teaches us. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives to us to continue enduring for the sake of those that are chosen. Let us be encouraged by this and strengthened by this to keep pressing forward, not only in our Christian lives and in obedience, but in the declaration of the gospel. Father, give us understanding. Bless the preaching of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is a very heartfelt epistle, by the way. Again, you have Paul, who is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. The last words, the things that he needs to know. And what encouragement that he gives to his son in the faith. He begins the second epistle, of course, by thanking the Lord continually. Paul says this in a number of his epistles. He longs to see Timothy. He wants to remind Timothy to kindle afresh the gift of God. At this point, perhaps, Timothy is just fatigued. He's just tired. He has been trying to pursue the things that God has set for him. He's trying to pastor the church of Ephesus. He's growing weary. He has his opponents within the church, those that have left the church, those that are within the church trying to spread heretical things or focusing on things that just don't matter. There's a lot of laboring that Timothy has been trying to do, and he's growing weary. And so what does Paul do out of his love for Timothy? He writes to Timothy, his child in the faith. He expresses to Timothy not only to keep persevering, but he uses himself as an example to say, look, I'm suffering these things too. I suffered for the gospel's sake. I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me because I'm his prisoner. Retain the standard of sound words, he says. He says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, not of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. These things, Timothy, remember, remind yourself, because there's a lot at stake here. Be reminded that you serve the sovereign God who has called you into this ministry, who has granted you this gift. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he says. What beautiful words these are when you begin to think of the Apostle Paul speaking these to his son in the faith. You can almost see Paul on the other end of this epistle as he's writing it. Just, Timothy, be strong. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep pressing forward. I'm suffering too. Suffer with me as a good soldier in Christ. Don't throw in the towel. Don't be a deserter like these others. Retain the sound teaching. He even tells Timothy, of course, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. He speaks of those that have deserted him in Asia. But those that were not ashamed of him in Rome. So many things that Paul is just pouring out his heart to Timothy. To encourage him through his hardships to keep persevering. Because there's always a temptation to throw in the towel. There's always a temptation to give up and say, I'm tired of doing this because it seems like I'm getting nowhere. Especially in reference to your declaration of the gospel. There's a number of reasons why we do not share the gospel. One, we are embarrassed by it. What are my friends going to think? What are they going to say? How will then they look at me? Because I brought up this. Another thing, the reason why we don't do it is because we don't think we're equipped enough to do it. We don't think that we have all the things that we need to know in order to declare the gospel. Another reason why we don't do it is because it's just comfortable not to. We got other important things to do. Now there's things to consider when you're declaring the gospel for sure. You want to get the gospel right and you want to declare a clear gospel. But friends, what is the gospel? Jesus died for sinners. That's a really simple thing. Jesus died for sinners. The content of the gospel is Christ. What the gospel reveals is Christ and his work. And that is what the people of God are called to declare. Just as Timothy is here, so too we are called to be faithful soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, because your suffering is not in vain. Your opponents who persecute you or who slander you, they will receive their just reward, but you too are to keep going and to keep persevering, because the scripture tells us Don't neglect in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. There's an end that will come, but we have to keep working towards it and moving towards it and not just stopping and saying, I'm done. Suffer hardship, Paul says, as a good soldier of Christ. He uses some analogies here to encourage Timothy as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer. Things that Timothy would have recognized, of course, and identified with. And so Paul says that to us as well. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about the doctrine of election being a strength for us in our time of distress. And it is also within this too that you have the intermingling of the enduring the hardships for the sake of the gospel. We are to strive. We are to agonize after that which God has called us to. And every person is called to preach the gospel. No one is exempt from that, regardless of your age, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're in the middle. You are called to declare the gospel because eternity is at stake here. And that's one reason why Paul is saying, keep going and keep persevering for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation and the glory. There is much at stake here. And it's a shame that we do not believe, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, because if we really believe that, we would be declaring that. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. He's focused on what he was enlisted to do. There's not a time when the soldier says, I'm done. He is to keep going. Keep striving, following the orders of his commander. In the same way with an athlete, you're not going to get anywhere in the competitive games or whatever by just going through like it's nothing. What is it that you're doing? You're trying to be competitive. And so in being competitive, you're giving everything you got. You're pushing everything to win the prize, to get to the finish. And that's the same thing that Paul says here. I've fought the good fight. I have finished my course, Paul says. That's why the writer of Hebrews, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, to run the race with endurance, never stopping, never slowing down, but continually moving forward. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, toward the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus. He says, I seek to lay hold of that which laid hold of me. The gospel laid hold of you. And you're striving to lay hold of it even more so. And along the way in your race, you're bringing others next to you, alongside you. Desiring to be part of the means that God has appointed to bring His people to faith. Do you desire to be part of this great activity of being used by the Lord as an instrument to bring His people to faith? Do you desire that? If you don't, then it's either because, one, you don't care because you're not really converted, or two, now, sadly, let me go back to the first thing here. Some do not care. That's evident. Because they're just in it. Because they themselves are deceived, thinking that they have it, and they still entangle themselves with the things of the world. But if you don't desire to be used by God, either you're not converted or you don't appreciate your own salvation as much as you should. Because if you really appreciate what God has done in your life, then you can't help but want to see that done in somebody else's life, that they may come to know Him. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Same idea being given over and over again. To keep moving forward, to work hard, to strive. And he says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then he gives Timothy this basis here, this foundation for everything that he's saying. All the encouragement that Paul is saying, and he goes back to this wonderful truth here in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel. Remember the gospel. Remember the Jesus of this gospel, whom I have preached to you. Remember who you're serving. Remember what he did. Remember who he is. For he is the Lord of glory. He is the one who became man in order to carry out the demands of the law of God. He is the one who laid aside his divine privileges in order to become a servant. Remember this Jesus that is preached in the gospel. Remember this Jesus who went to the cross to become the object of his Father's wrath for you. Remember this Jesus who himself endured such hardship against himself, for that is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility of sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. Remember this Jesus who was criticized and slandered by the religious leaders of his day. This Jesus who was rejected by his own. This Jesus who endured such a horrendous death. But even more so, the Jesus who satisfied God's justice on your behalf. Remember this Jesus of the gospel in which we preach. Remember the Jesus of the gospel that you have embraced. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the descendant of David, according to my gospel. That is the basis for all of the encouragement to keep pressing forward in our Christian life. To remember who we serve. Remember our Master. We forget easy, don't we? We get so entangled in other things that we forget. We don't keep it in our minds of this God that we serve, this God who is so gracious and merciful to us. We don't remember and reflect upon why it is that we have gotten this far. Hardships come and we think, how are we going to endure? And what we should be thinking is, I endured all of this beforehand because God supplied the strength, and therefore I know that I can continue even in this. Because my God is sovereign and he supplied everything that I needed in the moments that I needed that he could use me. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And Paul says, according to my gospel, and this gospel which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. I love this. But the word of God is not in prison. The word of God is not in prison. During your hardships, during your slanders, during your criticisms, the Word of God is still powerful. The Word of God is still able to save and to penetrate the heart. The Word of God is never confined. No matter what man may do in order to silence the Word of God, it will never be silenced. It will never be confined. It will never be imprisoned. It will always go and do as God says in Isaiah 55:11. His word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish all that he sends it forth to do. And for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. He's going back to himself. The encouragement here. Timothy, I'm doing this too. This is what has been my whole life, that I have endured all things for the sake of those that are chosen, the elect. I have endured all things for their sake, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with an eternal glory. This is why I've continued in the ministry, Timothy. Because I want to see people come to faith. I want to see the elect of God, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, come to faith in Him, to know Him, and to receive the glory which He will have for all those who desire His coming. The crown of life that He will grant. I want to see everybody else and receive it. That's what the Apostle Paul says. You think of all the hardships of the Apostle Paul, all the beatings that he took from the Jews 5 times, being shipwrecked the number of times, being stoned, taken out of the city, stoned, thought that he had died, and he got back up, went back into the city, and started preaching the gospel again. Why did he do all that? First off, first and foremost, above everything else, he did it to glorify his Lord. And secondly, he did it for the sake of those that were chosen by this sovereign, glorious Lord. And we can say to ourselves, of course, well, if they are elect of God, then what does it matter if I preach the gospel or I don't? Why does it matter if I share it with others or if I don't? Because if they're elect, they're going to come to faith anyway. That's a very poor attitude to have, but sadly some do have that. Those that would say such things primarily are those within the hyper-Calvinist group. And the hyper-Calvinists are not Calvinists, by the way. You know, there should be a desire that we have in our hearts for the lost. To suffer if it meant for them to come to faith. To endure the hardships for them to come to faith. That's what Paul did. That's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. To remember who you serve and suffer hardship for the sake of the elect, so that they would obtain the salvation of the eternal glory. These beautiful words in verses 11 to 13 are very encouraging words to us, strengthening words for us, and comforting words for us to endure. That was the intended outcome as Paul writes this to Timothy. It's a trustworthy statement. It is a well-known statement, Timothy. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Perhaps he's alluding to what he had previously said to the church of Rome, what we read in Romans chapter 6, that we are buried with him in baptism. We are made alive in Christ. We have died to sin. We live with him now, and ultimately we will live with him when he returns. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And the idea here is reigning as kings. For the scriptures have taught us in a number of places that we are kings and priests to our God because Christ has made us such. This is what is yet to come. If we deny him, here's the negative. If we deny him, he also will deny us. This is a very stern warning that Paul gives. Because those that are going to deny him, and the idea here is not the same kind of a denial as what Peter endured, because Peter did deny Jesus absolutely. He went out of the city and he wept bitterly and he repented. And then he preached boldly before the same ones that crucified Christ. The idea here is, if you deny him, if you just utterly reject him and utterly desert him, after professing faith in him, then he will deny you. Just as he says in Matthew chapter 7, for those that stand before him on the day of judgment, he will say to them, I never knew you. They said during their life that they did know him and got to the point where they said, I don't know him. And Jesus on that day says to them, I never knew you. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That is so beautiful. That the faithlessness of the people of God does not nullify the faithfulness of our Lord. He is faithful. He is faithful to do what he said he was going to do. We have to remember that. Now, what does all this have to do with evangelism? We're seeing his encouragement, of course, to Timothy, but there's a certain context that this is being given in. How does this play over or influence our evangelism in everyday life? Well, for one, as what we've been talking about, it is an encouragement to us to keep doing it, even though we've received opposition in various ways, or criticisms, or mocking, or slander, or whatever. You keep going. Because that's the encouragement being given here. Keep going and keep persevering. Keep doing it. Don't stop. And he says to Timothy in chapter 1, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. He says in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not scared. I'm not intimidated to keep silent. It's the power of God and salvation. To everyone who believes, if we long to see the ones that we love come to faith, then the only way to bring that about is to declare the gospel. Paul says here as well concerning evangelism that we are instruments in this. Those are some implications that we gather from this text. He's enduring all this hardship. He's enduring all of this for the sake of the elect. He's being used by God in order to bring them to faith. And the way that they are brought to faith is through the declaration of the gospel. That is how God's people come to faith. Through the declaration of the gospel. Not how well you can say it. Not how elegantly you can present it. It is simply by giving it faithfully. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus died so that you may live if you place your faith in him. Give them the clear gospel, and God uses that in order to penetrate the heart to bring them to faith. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. Listen to what the apostle says here. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We know that. That's one that's often quoted. But let's keep reading here. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen closely. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Do you see how Paul puts this all together? We usually quote verse 9 often, and verse 17 often. But we miss the middle part. How is it that people call upon the name of the Lord? How is it that people are saved? because somebody had preached the gospel to them so that they heard it and believed it. The gospel is the instrument that God uses to bring His elect to faith. In Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul is in Corinth on his missionary journey. He's preaching the gospel. There are some who have believed. And in verse 4, and he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Now listen to this. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." Now, you have the Apostle Paul, he's in Corinth, he's going and reasoning with the Jews in the synagogue. They're laughing him to scorn. Some have been converted. So he shakes the dust off of his feet and says, "Your blood be on your own heads and go to the Gentiles." But then he receives this vision from the Lord, and the Lord says, "Don't be fearful, keep on going, keep preaching, for I have many people in this city." And you're like, what do you mean? What does that mean? We just read of the certain ones who have believed. Some of the Corinthians did believe, but the Lord says to Paul, "I have many people in this city. Keep preaching. Keep declaring the gospel." And it is such a fascinating thing when you begin to think of it, that the Lord had those within the city who needed to hear the gospel because they were His, and He was going to bring them to faith and add to their number such as should be saved, as what He said in Acts chapter 13. God had His elect in the city. And so He encourages Paul, "Keep preaching. I have many people here. Keep preaching the gospel, because the gospel is the instrument that I'm using to bring these people to faith. My sheep." That is a very fascinating reality. When you begin to think about the elect of God, how God brings them to faith, and God uses mere creatures in order to bring it to them. The sovereign Lord of glory uses us lowly creatures to help bring His bride to faith. And doing so by the message that others consider to be foolishness. That is a great encouragement that should just make us so bold in our declaration of the gospel, to know my task, my responsibility as a child of God, is to do as the Apostle Paul, to endure the hardship, to suffer for their sake, but to declare the gospel. And whether they come to faith or they don't is not on my shoulders. It's on the sovereign Lord's shoulders to penetrate the heart with His gospel and bring His people to faith. There is great, great encouragement and recognizing this truth. Now, it was John Piper who said, "Evangelism and missions are not imperiled by the doctrine of election. It is empowered by it, and their victory is secured in it." He says missions and evangelism, they're not hindered by the doctrine of election. They're empowered by the doctrine of election. Their victory is secured because of the doctrine of election. For the Lord has His chosen, and He uses His people to bring the others to faith. You know, it's amazing when you start reading through the book of Acts and you see the scriptures where the Lord says, and He added to their number as such should be saved. And as many as were appointed unto eternal life believed. Or when you read of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel, and the text says, and the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to the things that Paul was saying. Then when you begin your task of sharing the gospel and these truths come to mind, you can be encouraged. You can be comforted to know this isn't on my shoulders. You can rejoice in what you're doing because you know that you are being used as an instrument by the sovereign God to bring others to faith. There is great joy in these things, in knowing this. So what then do we do? We endure the hardships. We don't forsake the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We don't hide the gospel. We don't hide the fact that we are believers. But we rest in the sovereign Lord. And we rejoice being used by the sovereign Lord as an instrument to bring others to faith. Do you desire to be used by God? Do you desire to see the salvation of those whom you love? You don't have to know everything, dear friends. You don't have to know apologetics. You don't have to know every other belief system. You don't have to know what this religion believes, or what atheism believes, and any of that. Those things are good to know. And apologetics is a good thing to know because it can help silence those who are criticizing you. But it is only the gospel, which is Christ and Him crucified, that penetrates the hearts to bring people to faith. It's not hard. We make it too hard. It is a joy. It is a joy to do. And it's successful not because anybody comes to faith. And it's a shame that we think of it that way. When you consider Jeremiah, who's preaching 40 years perhaps, and not one single convert, do we look at Jeremiah and say, well, he was a failure? Or do we look at Jeremiah and say, he endured all the hardships for the sake of his Lord. And what he did was successful because he was obedient to his God. That's how we need to view it too. Evangelism is successful because we are faithful in doing it, because we desire to be used by God to see our loved ones and our friends and those that we come in contact with also obtain the same salvation and the eternal glory. Do you desire that? Do you remember that? But it tells us something. It tells us something else. This will be the last thing. It tells us something about how active God is in bringing His elect to faith. God actively brings His people to faith. He's intimately involved in bringing them to faith because only He can do it. Otherwise, He leaves them to their self to endure the wrath that is due to them. This is important to know. God actively brings people to faith. And He passes over the rest. He doesn't actively harden them. He doesn't actively secure them in their unbelief. He leaves them to their own devices to receive the due punishment. But for those that are His, He uses His own to bring them to faith. That's how our God works, and that's how our God has worked in our own lives. He used somebody else to preach the gospel to us so that we may have obtained that salvation. Somebody was an instrument in God's hand to bring us to faith. And then we too are to do the same, to desire the salvation of the lost, and to do it for the glory of God, endure whatever may come for the sake of those chosen of God. So, dear friends, be encouraged. Be comforted to know it's not on you. It's not on your shoulders. It is never your responsibility to bring anybody to faith, to save anybody. For it is God who gives the increase. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for the encouragement that you give us through your word to endure the hardships, to endure all the things that come our way as a result of the gospel. Father, let us not be ashamed. Let us not be scared, fearful. But let us be emboldened to speak the gospel even more. To trust that this is the way that you bring people to faith. That if we desire the salvation of our friends, it's not by keeping silent. It's not by giving a watered-down gospel. It is by giving the faithful, clear presentation of the gospel that they may see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He did. Father, help us. Our flesh is weak. We desire to be comfortable. Father, let us not be at ease while others are destined to endure your wrath, while others are in darkness. Use us, Father. Give us a heart for the lost. Break our hearts for not following through with what you've called us to do, to make disciples. Give us the encouragement we need by resting in your sovereignty, knowing that it's all in your power. To you be the praise, the honor, the glory in all things, Holy Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all for your attention. And we will continue our series on Sunday. You are dismissed.